Hey, you're listening to The World Cafe. I'm Talia Schlanger. My guest today is Jack Johnson. He walked into the studio just as you might expect, wearing sandals and a t-shirt, guitar in hand, warm, kind. But we talked about some things you might not expect, including his recent single, My Mind is for Sale.
I don't care for your paranoia, us against them fearful kind of walls.
When Jack released the video for that song, Rolling Stone called it anti-Trump.
I think it's important not to be like anti one individual so much. It's more about the ideas he's putting out there, you know, condoning racism and talking so bombastically about building walls that are going to divide us. And the first time I sang the line, I don't care for your paranoid us against them fearful kind of walls, it just felt really good to sing that out to me.
That song is off Jack's latest record called All the Light Above It Too. We sat down to talk about it, hear him perform some of it, and we talked about some of Jack's passions, like reducing his carbon footprint and the amount of plastic that a touring musician could generate. He's donated tens of millions of dollars to charitable organizations, and he's truly humble about both his success and his generosity. And love, love, love. You know how you can tell when someone really loves the person they're talking about? That's how Jack Johnson sounds when he talks about his college sweetheart, who is now his wife and the mother of his children. They all live in Hawaii, in the same town where Jack grew up surfing. Jack Johnson, welcome back to the World Cafe.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Nice to be here.
Really happy to have you. So we're going to hear you play the song My Mind is for Sale first. What do you want to tell us about this one before we hear it?
Oh, this is a song I woke up one morning, and it had been a pretty wild election process to watch. And it was the first time my oldest son was at that age where he could kind of, he's in world history classes and things, and a lot of the things that they were talking about during the debates were relevant to what he's learning at school, so we're having a lot of conversations about it all. And so I woke up this one morning, and this song, My Mind is for Sale, just came out, and it just felt really good to sing it. It felt like the verses were meant to be kind of how our news feels sometimes right now, and how people are talking about fake news and reality TV and all these different terms we have now. And it's sometimes hard to figure out what you can trust and what you can't, you know, and sometimes things feel like rumors. And so the verses were meant to feel a little bit like people gossiping and like, I heard this and I heard that. Almost every line starts with the word I heard. And then the chorus was meant to be really clear. And so just the first time I sang the line, I don't care for your paranoid us against them fearful kind of walls, it just felt really good to sing that out to me. I just remember later that night at a family get together, like singing it to my brother, and it felt really good to share it with him. And then it just, it was a song that came really quickly. Sometimes they take me a while to write. This one just took one morning.
Mm. That's a perfect setup. Okay.
Good.
Well, let's hear it.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I heard the blinkers on, I heard we're changing lanes, I heard he likes to race. I heard the six or seven words he likes to use are always in bad taste. And I heard that Monday's just a word we say every seven times around, and then we pin the tail on Tuesday. Strings go up and down. The elephant in the room begins to dance. The camera zoom into his mouth begins to move. Hateful words he uses. I don't care for your paranoia, us against them fearful kind of walls. I don't care for your careless, me first, gimme appetite at all, or not at all, or not at all. And all the real estate in my mind is for sale, it's all been subdivided. Divided into reasons why my two opposing thoughts at once are just fine. And the residue from the price tag on the tip of my tongue. Words don't come, they go. How many likes I gotta get? For I know the truth, and the truth is season 3 will be a great reason to forget all about reality's a slippery slope. Watch the TV scream and shout it. I don't care for your paranoid, us against them fearful kind of walls. I don't care for your careless, me first, gimme appetite at all. Oh, not at all. Oh, not at all. Well, I heard the blinkers on, I heard we're changing lanes, I heard it needs more space, I heard there's 6 or 7 words are in bad taste. It's absurd to believe that we might deserve anything, as if it's balanced in the end, and them good guys always win. No, I don't care for your paranoia, us against them fearful kind of walls. I don't care for your careless, me first, gimme appetite with the residue from the price tag on those two opposing thoughts in my mind, us against them fearful kind of walls. Mm-mm. Oh, not at all, not at all.
So lovely. Oh, what a joy. Jack Johnson performing live here at the World Cafe, My Mind is for Sale. Did you play it for your kids before you played it for your brother at that party that you went to?
Yeah, my kids tend to hear everything first. There's an old show called The Old Grey Whistle Test that I really like watching, a lot of live performances on this show from England. And I guess where the term The Old Grey Whistle Test, they used to go down to this area where there was the guys at the hotel nearby that were, they had gray hair. And they would whistle the song to them, a new melody, these songwriters. And then they would leave for a couple hours, and they'd come back. And if the old guys that, even the old guys with the gray hair, if they could still whistle the melody, then they knew that it was a song that was worth kind of working on. Huh. And so anyways, around my house, I got like the young toehead whistle test kind of, because with my kids, I'll try songs out on them all the time. And I'm not even trying them out, I'm just playing around the house. But anyways, I'll start noticing, like if I hear them humming the melody later in the day, like my 8-year-old daughter, if she can hum the melody later, I kind of know, okay, that one's sticking around in their heads. So they hear all the songs first, mostly. Yeah.
When the song came out, there were headlines because people have to make headlines of things. And one of the ones that I saw in Rolling Stone was Jack Johnson pens anti-Trump song or with anti-Trump video. And I think that was interesting. And I'm wondering what your reaction was to that, because, I mean, you do reference specific things that we could attribute to him or ideas that he's talked about, but it doesn't sound to me like a song that is in disagreement with a person, but maybe with the ideas that they're espousing.
I like the way you put that right there, because I think it's important not to be like anti one individual so much as the ideas. It's bigger than that, you know. It's years from now, if some kid doesn't even know who Donald Trump was, I don't want the song to have to be attached to that. It's more about the ideas he's putting out there, you know, condoning racism and talking so bombastically about building walls that are going to divide us. And just sort of this me first, give me appetite, all these things that I see. It's like you have to give anybody a chance to, once they get in office, to, you know, put out positive ideas and things. But I just didn't feel that that was the case. So I decided to write that song. But it's definitely not like anti one person. It's anti the ideas.
Jack Johnson is my guest here on the World Cafe. His new record is called All the Light Above It Too. So the first handful of songs on All the Light Above It Too sort of feel a bit more message-driven, and then you take us on this great escape with the song Big Sur, or at least it feels that way. It feels like we're sort of like packing up the car and going to enjoy life or nature. Why was that an important place for you to write a song about?
Yeah, so Big Sur, I had the basic idea for the song, just wanted to be about driving away from the first 4 or 5 songs like you're talking about. But at the same time, you know, as I was following the lines of the road and just thinking about the lines of society and sort of that being what confines us and trying to find freedom within a society, that was the basic concept for me. So then I started looking at my packing list. you're not able to camp unless you have some pretty organized camping list. We want to do it every year, and once you start having kids and stuff, you can't just wing it every year. So we got this list we print out every time, and we add stuff that we forgot last time around or whatever. And so I printed out the packing list, and I was looking at it, and it was kind of fun. It was like a word game where I went around and I started circling words that rhyme with each other. And that's where the second verse comes from. It's like a pocket knife, an old guitar, a coffee cup, a deck of cards. And then looking at each of the words and the symbolism within them and what those words kind of release in my mind, like the feelings of you see a deck of cards. And yeah, and then I think about the memories I have of playing cards with my friends and different things. And that was like a nice way to open up the lyrics for that song, was just looking at that packing list. That's where it all started for me.
Well, let's go. Let's sounds pack
good.
Up the car.
All right, sounds good.
Behind the wheel, against the road, next to you, the central coast. Central thought within my mind is how to stay within these lines, but still be free. Beneath the ground, the giants sleep, and maybe we're just in their dreams. A setting sun with every turn, above the ground, the oak trees burn, and they weep for rain. For this endless conversation, instigated by the stars. A pocket knife, an old guitar, a coffee cup, a deck of cards. Corre, corre, dashboard feet, the flashlight children by the stream. A box of books, a book of rocks, one for the birds, one for the knots. I will learn how to tie round this day to keep my life from sliding away. From this endless conversation, instigated by the stars, with a little wood to keep it burning, fascinated by it all. The first to wake will stoke the coals, the early morning river rolls. Last one in the swing will break, stones will stack, the kids will make those lines. Rocks are boxing by the creek, again the lines begin to speak. Words of broken smoke signals that will lead us into the light, into it all and always. Always endless conversation, implicated by the stars, with a little wood to keep it burning, and fascinated by it all and always.
Jack Johnson performing live here at the World Cafe. That's Big Sur off his new album called All the Light Above It Too. So I read that you weren't setting out to make an album, but that it sort of started with this documentary film that you were making, where you went out to the Bermuda Triangle. Can you tell me the premise behind the it's called the Smog of the Sea?
Sure.
Yeah. Can you tell me the premise?
Smog of the Sea was it's a documentary that ended up, it was the byproduct of me getting invited on a trip with this group, Five Gyres. They're a really great group. It's an organization that does research in the ocean. They go out and they basically drag a trawl next to the boat, and they collect plastic. And we sailed from Florida to the Bahamas. And then from there, we sailed Bahamas to Bermuda. And that was the really exciting trip, because we were away from land for about 7 days, just, you know, on this boat. And even those places that we get to, where it was just seemed endless, you know, and it seemed like we're so far from humanity and the effects of it, and the ocean was just so pristine. Every time we'd bring in the trawl, we'd do it, you know, once every hour or so, you'd bring it in and you could still fill up your hand, your palm of your hand, with all these little particles of plastic, like microplastics. And it was really depressing, but it was also inspiring in a way, just to see the work these people were doing, and to kind of to have that the scientific research behind a lot of the stuff we do on tour, trying to eliminate single-use plastic, and the connection of just, you know, being part of an industry that does have a large carbon footprint, trying to, you know, doing this touring thing and having, besides the trucks and buses and all that kind of stuff and flights, you try to mitigate all those negative impacts. And one of the things that we really produce a lot of on tour is single-use plastic, if you're not careful. So we've been working for a long time trying to have venues replace the like single-use plastic water bottles with reusable pint cups and those kind of things. And with all of it, I never try to make it a thing of preaching or anything like that. It's a learning process for me, and I try to share that learning process with the fans, and especially the younger ones that are coming and still kind of shaping the way they're going to approach the world. If I can let them onto the thoughts that I'm having as a 42-year-old that took me this long to get to, and if there's anything I can share with them at the age of 20 that now they can go, yeah, I'm going to run with this and I'm going to change the world. You know, it's like planting those little seeds and just sharing that learning process with the people coming to the shows.
Yeah. Jack Johnson is my guest here on the World Cafe. His new album is called All the Light Above It Too. What are some of the other things that you do when you're out on the road to reduce carbon footprint?
Yeah, so we've learned a lot from different bands over the years. Willie Nelson would be one of those for sure, and Neil Young. Running the trucks and buses all on biodiesel. The refillable water bottle stations, that's kind of the thing that's been exciting to work towards to try to eliminate the single-use plastic. All of our merchandise, either, you know, organic when it's the shirts, things like that, and recycled for the posters. But yeah, no, there's the food, you know, the food is really important. I think it used to be more of a challenge. Like, we used to have to bring somebody on the road with us that would go shop at the farmers markets in the morning and help provide the catering with that. But now it's cool because we've really seen where every town there's a great catering group, at least one, and lots of towns will have many that will already be into that kind of stuff and, you know, sourcing all their food locally. And so that's a big one too. It's just all about kind of like spreading that idea of supporting your local food system.
I love it. Jack Johnson is my guest here on the World Cafe. His new album is called All the Light Above It Too. I'm Talia Schlanger. All right, well, let's hear you play some more guitar for us. Another song from the new record, I think, Sunsets for Somebody Else. Yeah?
Great.
I love the line, "Can this world not afford to sleep anymore?" That's my favorite.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Do you have anything
to add? I thought about that this morning when I was flying in. I did a 10-hour flight from Hawaii, and just as it was, the light was just starting to come up, and then looking down, and all the cities were still lit up, and all the towns, and it was just, everything seemed so alive and so electric, and I was thinking of that line, "Can this world not afford to sleep anymore?" Doesn't have anything to do with anything, but I was thinking of that line this morning.
It's already awake, yeah. All right, let's hear it.
I've seen your face somewhere, selling something, some big idea. I know I've seen that vacant stare, selling sunsets for somebody else. You find yourself asking yourself, what is any of it worth? You find yourself looking up at night from the bottom of the earth. And oh, can this world not afford to sleep anymore? And oh, did your sheep stop jumping? They grow out their teeth, they need a little something more than this. Taste of trouble on your lips, 'cause now they're biting at your thoughts. You tell yourself just to turn away, but you know you've already lost. The smell of rain when it's on the wind can never be paid in full. You try in vain to account for this mess and everything that you stole. And oh, can this world not afford to sleep anymore? And oh, did your sheep stop jumping? They grow out their teeth, they need a little something more than this. 'Cause now they're biting at your feet, they got you running from this place, and now they're breathing down your neck, your eyes look lonely in your face. I see you looking just out of frame, what is it pulling you there? 'Cause things can never stay the same, so what is keeping you here? And oh, can this world not afford to sleep anymore? And oh, did your sheep stop jumping? They grow out their teeth, did they need a little something? Now every time you think, will they be biting at your thoughts? And every time you blink, will you be sold and bought? But you are more than this. I know I've seen your face somewhere.
Live here at the World Cafe, Jack Johnson with Sunsets for Somebody Else. I want to talk about Hawaii a little bit because it's such a huge part of your sound and your identity. Where do you live? Is it a place where people come? Where do you live, Jack Johnson? Is your house in a place where people go to surf? Is it remote? Is it rural?
Yeah, I live on the North Shore of Oahu, which is it's kind of like the epicenter of surfing. It's an interesting place because people come and go a lot. There's a community that lives there year round and everything, but during the winter, it's like a circus comes through town. It's all the surfers from Australia and Brazil and Europe, and everybody kind of wants to surf this one wave in particular called Pipeline. It's photographed quite a bit, and it's quite a scene. I mean, it's crazy when it's really good, the amount of people out there and the amount of photographers and like the lifeguards on jet skis in the channel and the drones flying over nowadays. It's crazy to see, and especially from growing up there. And we've been pretty lucky, I think, in a lot of ways. It's still a really beautiful place. And so that's where I grew up, in Hawaii.
Does the family that you grew up with still live there?
Yeah. We all live in the same town still and everything. Yeah, it's nice.
That's so nice.
I live next door to my brother. Yeah, we're close.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and my other brother's just down the street.
Jeez. The family values that you bring to your music and even to this conversation, like the way that you speak about your family, and even the way you speak about your kids, I think is so beautiful, and you don't hear that very often in such a genuine way. And I know that you have three kids and that you keep their names out of the media, which I really appreciate. And I was thinking while you were referring to them earlier with some stories that you told, like you would say my son or my daughter, and is it hard to turn the filter on in your brain where you don't say the name?
Yeah, and it's weird too. I mean, you know, it's a interesting position to be in, where I do feel like quite a private person, but at the same time, like sharing all these moments with a lot of people. And it's an interesting thing. I try to keep my family life private and all that, but I'm sharing a lot of pretty intimate thoughts.
Yeah. Well, but I know songs, there's sort of an anonymity, I guess, though, in how songs work for people when they hear them. Like, they're always a Rorschach test of who you actually are when you listen to that song.
Yeah. Like, and I like that. It's nice sometimes hearing people's interpretation of a song. A lot of times I like those more than what I was meaning in the song. You know, I've heard people and they've told me, like, these lyrics mean this or that to me. And so it's nice to know. I mean, I kind of feel like once I put them out there, they're not mine anymore in a nice way. You know, it's like they're everybody's now. And there's a song called Better Together I wrote, and it was such a intimate, just thinking of my wife when I wrote it. And then now I know a lot of people use it for their wedding song, and it's weird, like I've let that song go in a way. That's why I kind of have to keep writing love songs, because once I put them out, I feel like almost guilty, like, okay, I gotta write new ones now because those are everybody's, like I gotta write. And so I have a lot of love songs that I don't put out to the world. There's a, you know, probably just because they're not as good. but I write them all the time. They're just to make my wife laugh around the house. And then if they're good enough, they end up sticking around and they make it on a record.
Well, while we're talking about Better Together, I know that your wife was I guess, one of the first or the first people that you showed your songs to back in the early days. What did she say when you showed her this one?
This one, well, let's see. So this one, I was away from home when I started writing this one, and it was kind of like sometimes I would leave it on the voicemail and things like that, like with these songs. And that'll help me remember the lyrics too, because sometimes she'll keep them and then she'll play it back for me. I mean, she tends to really like the love songs. Those are the ones I don't show her until they're done, usually. All the rest, like, she hears all the little parts, and I try my best to kind of write the songs and finish them when she's not around, the loved ones. And then, but unless sometimes they're not even meant to be a song, they'll start with, you know, there's one where I had worked on this song called No Other Way, and I remember it was one of those kind of songs where I woke up in the middle of the night and went out in the living room and tried to play real quietly to not wake anybody else up in the house. And I was real excited when I had written the song. And I tried to show it to her the next morning, and she was busy doing work, you know, and she, and I was, check this out, and it was the wrong time, and I played her the song, and I didn't really get her attention much. And then so I was like, this one started, and it was just a total joke where I said, you hardly even notice when I try to show you the song is meant to keep you from doing what you're supposed to. And that's all I had. And she turned around, she's like, oh, I like that one though. And then I was like, come on. I was like, I worked all night on the other one. And then this, you know, I was like mad at the time, but she was like, no, but the other song you just played right there is really good. And so I was like, oh, okay. And so then I started working on that one instead. And sure enough, she was right. Like, that's one of the more popular songs we have. So it's funny, like a lot of times just out of a joke or trying to make her laugh, that's where the ones that touch on some other kind of truth, you know, you want to work hard and kind of think that this one is really something you want to present. But then other times it's like there's a truth and just sort of that spontaneity that comes out sometimes just trying to make somebody laugh.
And of course that You Hardly Even Notice song turned into?
Banana Pancakes.
This is Jack Johnson performing live here at the World Cafe.
You hardly even notice when I try to show you the song is meant to keep you from doing what you're supposed to, like waking up too early. Maybe we could sleep in. I'll make you banana pancakes, pretend like it's the weekend right now, and we could pretend it all the time. And can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. Oh, but maybe like a ukulele, mama made a baby. I really don't mind the practice, cause you're my little lady. And lady, lady love me, I love to lay here lazy. We could close them curtains, pretend like there's no world outside, and we could pretend it all the time. And can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. Ain't no need, ain't no need. Rain all day and I really don't mind. Can't you see? We've got to wake up slow. Telephone sing a ringing, it's too early, don't pick it up. We don't need to, we got everything we need right here. Everything we need is enough. It's just so easy when the whole world fits inside of your arms. Don't really need to pay attention to the alarm. Wake up slow. Wake up slow. Oh, but baby, you hardly even notice when I try to show you the song is meant to keep you from doing what you're supposed to, like waking up too early. Maybe we could sleep in. I'll make you banana pancakes, pretend like it's the weekend right now, and we could pretend it all the time. And can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. Ain't no need, ain't no need. Rain all day and I really, 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 really don't mind. Can't you see, can't you see? We've got to wake up slow.
Live here at the World Cafe, Jack Johnson. That's so lovely. And the way that you tell stories about your wife and about your partnership and about your kids makes me think that you had really good examples growing up of how to be a husband and a dad, maybe.
Yeah. My parents were amazing. I kind of never went through that phase where I didn't like my parents or I didn't want them around or anything. I was lucky that way, but it was because they gave us a lot of independence. They kind of gave us our space. And my dad never told us too much about the way we should be. He just sort of did his thing, and we all really admired him. He was like the father figure for my whole group of friends in a lot of ways. They all had, and some of them had good dads too, but some of them didn't have dads in their life. And so my dad was a father for a lot of different kids in our neighborhood. But it was partly just because, he was just a classic. He sailed to Hawaii when he was 20 years old. He always says that's how he learned how to sail. He just took off and sailed on a little 25-foot boat by himself to Hawaii. So I was lucky he made it there, because then that's where I was born, and he raised me over there. But probably like a 50-50 chance he even made it over there. I mean, just like taking off by yourself on a boat when you're 20, it wasn't the smartest thing in the world, but that's how he was. He kind of was always on the edge a little bit. I had great parents. I was really lucky.
Yeah. Are you folks still with us? Are they still together?
My mom's still alive. My dad passed away a few years back.
Oh, and, I'm sorry.
He had a full life. He always had amazing stories, but he was more of a listener. That was the thing about him. He always had classic people around, and he was just always listening to stories. And that was something I always noticed, because a lot of times my mom would, he just had a lot of kind of, I don't know the right word to use, just eccentric friends, that were always around. And so I got to see a lot of different type of people growing up. He didn't really judge people too much based on their lifestyles and things. So where we lived, going to Hawaii during the 60s was definitely... it was out on the edges, it was where a lot of people that were really interesting had headed. So, yeah, it was a great childhood.
Yeah. How did you end up settling back in Hawaii? Did you meet your wife in Hawaii?
No, my wife and I met when we were 18 years old in California. I went to school. I left Hawaii when I was 18 to go to UC Santa Barbara. And, we met there, and, we'd make each other mixtapes and that kind of thing. And her mixtapes were definitely influencing the way I was trying to write songs.
Wait, did you have a crush on her by that point? Like, did you have a crush on her when you met her, or were you friends first?
Yeah, she's really pretty. And so before I even knew her, I had a crush on her. But then I just had to settle for friendship. It was cool for a little while, and I won her over eventually. But
how did you win her over?
Well, I don't know. I just stuck with it. I was persistent. I locked my bike to her bike. I mean, I wrote about it in a song, so I can't deny it. But it was a sketchy move. It was kind of creepy, actually. She always tells a story. It's like different than mine. We tell our kids the story, and it's like, in my story, I feel like I looked as cool as like Jean-Paul Belmondo out of like a French film or something. Like I locked my bike to hers, and I was standing there waiting for her when she came out of class. Hers, I was like, her version, I locked it, and then I was like hiding in the bushes, like watching her, and she was like, it was super weird. I was super over him at first, like, what is this guy doing? And, but I think it worked. I've got to be careful. A lot of people are listening. I definitely don't recommend locking your bike to a person you don't know. But it worked for me. Okay.
What song did that show up in?
It's called Do You Remember?
Oh.
I could play it if you want.
Well, maybe that's the song that we should go out on, because I think
good.
That's great.
Let's do it.
When we first met, I sure do. It was sometime in September 93. Well, you were lazy about it. You made me wait around. I was so crazy about you, I didn't mind. Well, I was late for class. I locked my back to yours. It wasn't hard to find, 'cause you painted flowers on it. I guess that I was afraid that if you rolled away, you might not roll back my direction anytime soon. I was crazy about you then, and I was the craziest thing of all. Over 10 years have gone by, and you're still mine. We're locked in time. Now let's rewind. Do you remember when we first moved in together? The piano took up the living room. You play me boogie woogie, I play you love songs. You'd say we're playing house, now you still say we are. We built our getaway up in a tree we found. We fell so far away, but we were still in town. Now I remember watching that old tree burn down. I took a picture that I don't like to look at. All those times that come and go, and alone they don't seem so long. Over 24 years have gone by, and you're still mine, and I'm still yours, and we're locked in time. Now let's rewind.
Live here at the World Cafe, Jack Johnson with Do You Remember? Did you say 24 years gone by?
Yeah.
Do you update it? Do you update it so it's accurate amount of years that you spent together?
I do. I try to update it as it goes on. My wife was a math major too, so it's like really important that I'm accurate in my numbers. No, actually the first time I did it, it might have been a couple years back. I think right around like the 18th anniversary of being together. One time at a show, it just dawned on me, as I said, over 10 years have gone by. I was like, that's not giving the relationship justice. So I came to the next one and I said, over 18 years have gone by. And it was funny because when my wife started doing like that, and she's like, you know, all the girls in the front row are going to start thinking you're really old. And I was like, I don't matter. I don't care. You know, it was funny. So, so I keep doing it that way and it just keeps building. So now it's 24 years and it always is really nice. It's like, it's interesting to sing something like that out and then to get the response from the crowd. It's like, kind of gives me goosebumps every time, you know, to play that line.
Yeah. Jack, I want to thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here.
Thanks. Yeah. Jack's new album is called All the Light Above It Too. You're listening to The World Cafe.